defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We begin today's broadcast with a testimony from Michelle, who writes from Missouri. And I was particularly touched by this testimony that came in over the weekend. She writes, "Mr. Hanegraaff, you do not know me, but you helped me so many times in my life. It was your broadcast I was listening to 12 years ago that finally opened my eyes to the error of my 20 years as an active Mormon. Praise God for you. Last September, I lost my oldest son in Afghanistan. He was a hero to his 8 siblings. I'm blessed to know the Lord and that he was saved too. Even then, it hurts so much. Yet I was listening to you after that, and you spoke about what happens to the spirit of the saved once they have passed on, and it comforted me. Know that you touched the lives of so many for the Lord. Thank you, and God bless you. Michelle." Here's a testimony about what I did. In reality, it is a testimony to what you did. And I'm talking to the collective you who stand with this ministry on an ongoing basis, prayerfully and financially. As a result, people come to faith in Christ. As a result, people come out of the kingdom of the cults and world religions. As a direct result, people are equipped to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. As a result, Christians are equipped with discernment skills. As a result, the kingdom of God is extended. And I want to remind all of you at the beginning of the broadcast today that that is precisely why I ask you to stand with this ministry. It's never easy. We seem to always be stretching against the financial limits. The expenses so often outrace the income. And so I remind you that you are part of a team changing lives for time and for eternity. Dare I say that were this the only life, it would be worthwhile. But there are many more. So once again, I ask you to join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. When you do, I would love to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition. You simply can order in 3 ways. One is via the mail. When you send your gift to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can pick up the phone and talk to resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, or you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Just go to equip.org on the World Wide Web /donate. Select Bible Answer Man support team, then fill out the online form and join a circle of friends making a difference for time and for eternity. If you could make a special gift of $100 or more, I'll also send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition. But do so today. We need many of you before the end of the month to let us know you're standing with us prayerfully and financially. So make this a commitment today, whatever you can do. Some people can give $25 a month, some $50, some $100, some more. Whatever you can do. Many people standing together do make a difference, not only for time, but as we see in the testimony from Michelle, for eternity. Want to go to our first phone caller up today, Michael, listening on the web in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Hank. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we got to talking about the two natures of Christ, and he was telling me that Christ had a spiritual, human spirit and a divine spirit. So I guess my question is, does Christ have two spirits or just one?
Well, remember that Jesus Christ was one person with two natures, fully man and fully God. What does it mean to be fully man? When a woman gives birth, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. Jesus Christ was fully man. We also recognize from Philippians that he was not divested of a single attribute of deity. So in the incarnation, while he took on the limitations of humanity, he was fully and completely divine. How that is communicated, I think, is most safely put in the Creed of Chalcedon or in some of the other biblical creeds, like the Creed of Athanasius. This is important in that the church fathers wanted to codify this in language that's consistent and also correct. There is a mysterious aspect to it, and therefore the language is important. We recognize even with the language, we don't fully comprehend it, but this is our apprehension of God's condescension to himself in the pages of Holy Writ.
Okay, so he would have one spirit, be one person, right?
He was fully God and fully man. One person with two natures. Fully God, fully man. That entails what it is to be fully man, and it entails what it is to be fully God. To try to distinguish centers of consciousness as though Christ may have had two or three different centers of consciousness makes no sense. I think we need to be very careful with the language, and therefore, once again, I refer you to the creeds that say one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved, and concurring in one person, the one subsistence, not parted or divided into two persons, but one and the same Son. I don't know that I can say it any better than that. And I think we're, therefore, from a historic Christian standpoint, we are well served to emulate the language of the creeds in communicating what it means that we have one God who reveals himself in three persons who are eternally distinct. And when we talk about the incarnation, we talk about one person with two natures, fully God, fully man.
Yeah, that would make sense of that scripture where he says, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. And he doesn't say spirits, plural, but spirit singular.
Yeah, that's right. So
Okay, thanks, man. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Zeke. He's listening in Old Ridge, Nebraska. Hi, Zeke.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, Hank.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I was wanting to know, in 1 John 5:16, it says, but there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. What is that sin, and why shouldn't we pray for people that commit that sin?
Yeah. In context, I think what is going on is you have a letter that is addressing Christians who are plagued by a Gnostic fallacy. And as a result of that, John is addressing a problem in a context. And so the sin that leads to death is always the same sin. It is the sin of continually, willfully, in an ongoing, premeditated fashion, denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the incarnate, the in-flesh Son of God. So if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. The sin that does lead to death is an ongoing, continuous, willful rejection of the grace and love of God. Now, life in the context of this epistle is interesting as well. It's typically eternal life. So sin unto death would appear to be a sin leading from eternal life. And the sin that leads from eternal life is this conscious, willful, ongoing rejection.
Blasphemy, as you talked earlier?
Yeah.
Now, what is your take on, have you heard of the 11-year-old boy in Nebraska that was considered dead and went to heaven? He was 3 years old when it happened, and he's got a book out now. He's about 11 years old.
Well, you know, I don't know about that particular book, but let me tell you, I have seen all kinds of books like that come down the pike, where people have near-death experiences, or they physically die, they have the opportunity to have a grand tour to hell or a grand tour to heaven. And if you look at what they're communicating, what they communicate does not consistently stack up with what the Bible communicates, and therefore you got to test those kinds of subjective experiences in light of the objective Word of God, hold fast to that which is good.
Right, right. Yeah, I just recently got your book to covering. It's awesome. I've recommitted my life about 2 months ago, and it's really helped to stay on track. Which one would you suggest to get next of yours?
Well, if you are looking for eternal verities, I think what's important is to recognize the truth of the three great apologetic issues. The first of which is the issue of origins. How one views their origins determines how they live their life. If you think you're a function of random chance, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him.
Right.
So I think a book that I wrote on that might be very helpful to you, called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. Which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. The second great apologetic issue is the issue of resurrection. And I think this is critical because not only is this a defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it also gives you the surety that you too one day will rise like your Master, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, that you will live and reign and rule in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And the reason this is so important is once we recognize that we are those who will never die, we'll start living our lives not for mean earthly vanities, but rather for eternal verities. And we will start elevating our gaze to heaven. We'll lay up for ourselves treasures where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. That book is titled simply Resurrection. It also is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
All right. Thanks a lot, Hank. Appreciate your ministry and your time.
You got it. Thank you so much for your encouragement and, as always, for your call. Do remember, once again, as we close out this segment, I want to underscore the necessity for many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team member. As a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member, you can make a difference in touching people's lives, not giving to us, but through us, touching a life, transforming a person for time. and for eternity. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I also want to remind you of the Alaska cruise coming up June 3rd through the 10th. June 3rd through the 10th. And if you want further information on that, visit the World Wide Web at equip.org. And just click on the ship. You can find out everything that we will be doing. Alaska is bigger than everything else, it seems, including the adventures. They are big adventures, from the awe-inspiring blue ice of the massive glacial field to the expansive grandeur of its wildlife. This is something you don't want to miss. And you can, again, click on the ship on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
Has the Bible Answer Man broadcast impacted your life? Have you been equipped to defend your faith? If so, consider becoming a Bible Answer Man support team member. In doing so, you'll be making an eternal investment in a ministry that equips believers to discern truth from error and to think Christianly about life's most important questions. As a new member of the Bible Answer Man support team, we will send you a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized by Hank. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is an indispensable resource that will not only provide answers to your questions, but equip you to answer questions raised by family and friends. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, just go to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. To remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute is our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you've heard Hank Hanegraaff interview outstanding contributing writers to the award-winning Christian Research Journal. Well, now we've put the best of these interviews from 2010 into one exciting audio CD. For your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we will send you The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism and the truth about objective morality. Answer the accusation often raised by militant atheists that the killing of the Canaanites was God's ethnic cleansing. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact. To order The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will return to your questions. Next up is Jesse, listening on Butt Radio, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call, Hank.
Oh, you're welcome.
What I was wondering, because I was kind of a little bit, you know, confused by what I was taught this weekend, and it has to do with Christians, you know, not sinning. And well, anyway, the question is, can a, because I've heard, you know, both ways, you know, that, you know, we sin in word, thought, and deed, you know, and that's just the way it is. And then the text that our pastor was using came out of John, where the lady that was being brought before Jesus by the Pharisees, and because she committed adultery, and so Jesus, you know, asked them, you know, who's without sin, you know, they can cast the first stone. And then after everybody left, she said, well, or he said, where's your accusers? And she responded, well, they're not here. And he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And so our pastor basically told us that, you know, Jesus is a truthful person. He does not lie to us. He does not tell us that we, you know, to do things that are impossible for us to do. And therefore, if Jesus can, you would tell somebody to go and sin no more, then you don't have to continue sinning.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate response on the part of the pastor for a number of reasons. One is that particular passage is not in the oldest and best manuscripts, so I wouldn't be making a doctrine based on this particular passage. But I think a better understanding in any case is do not continue in a willful pattern of sinning. That's the context in which that would be most logical as a response, because over and over again we recognize that we are sinners. That's precisely why we need a Savior. And the Bible makes clear that we can't stop sinning, and we are going to continue to sin until the day that we die. Our exemplar perhaps would be the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, and he himself cries out to God, who can save me from this body of sin or this body of death? Or the Apostle John, who says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So we need to continually confess our sins. Why? Because we continually sin. And anyone that looks at himself in the quietness of his own closet knows that he or she continually sins. We all know that. There's not a single exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to continue falling on our faces, I guess, and eventually, you know, once, you know, Christ comes and redeems us, then we're going to be transformed and made perfect.
Well, that's right. And right now we are justified by Jesus Christ, which means that we are covered by the spotless robes of his righteousness. So we are in position accounted as righteous before God while we are practically sinners. And that is why the Bible throughout teaches sanctification, which is daily being conformed to the image of Christ. So we are being changed. It's an ongoing process. And one day we'll be glorified, and then we'll be in practice what we are only now in position.
Correct. So, see, to me, I thought like sanctification was just to be set apart for, you know, a particular service or a particular purpose.
We are sanctified and set apart through baptism. That is true. But sanctification is a work of the Spirit in our lives by which we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So we're never intrinsically perfect in this life. We're never completely sanctified. We've been justified because of the work of Jesus Christ, again, positionally declared righteous. Practically, we still wrestle with sin. And our confidence is that we are considered perfect in the sight of God because we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith.
Okay, so I guess, because I guess it kind of confuses me in such a point that it's borderline on, you know, saved by works, not necessarily by grace, you know, but then...
No, we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
I'm talking about, you know, the point that was made, you know, about not sinning anymore. So it's like if you could live your life without sinning, then what would have been the point in Christ coming and dying?
Oh, yes, yes.
In our place. So it positionally, we're right with God through Christ, and yeah, we're going to mess up a long life's journey. We just don't have to stay in that messed up condition.
Well, that's correct, and we cannot do that by confessing our sins. We're told by the Apostle John, specifically written to believers, that while our sins can damage our relationship with God, they can't destroy our fellowship with God. In other words, our sin does not break our union with God, but our sin can break our communion with God, and therefore we must continuously confess our sins, knowing that He is faithful and righteous and will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Would you happen to have a scripture reference that would, you know, for, you know, what He just told me, that our sin doesn't break our relationship with God? I'm confused.
Yeah,
what I'm trying to say.
Well, I understand what you're trying to say. Is there a passage or a corpus of passages that teaches that our relationship with God is sure? And I would say yes. The answer is absolutely. There are not just a few passages like that, but there are a lot of passages like that. We have a guarantee, a seal, which is the Holy Spirit, who guarantees that we will never be out of His care, never be out of His hand. So we are sealed with the Spirit of God. Philippians tells us that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You know, you have 1 Corinthians 1:8 that promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. And Jude 24 that guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault. So I think there are many different times that we are assured that if you are one who belongs to the Master, no one will snatch you out of His hand.
Okay. So I know that, you know, it's not a license to sin or to continue, because then there would be question, well, were you even saved to begin with? So,
here's the issue. In short, we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So we don't work for our salvation, but we do work from our salvation. What we do now counts for all eternity. And this was something that Jesus Christ oftentimes preached. It's not popular or prevalent in the sermons of most pastors today, but it is true that we ought to look to store up treasures in heaven as opposed to on earth. What we do now counts for all eternity. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I'll give to everyone according to what he's done. So you don't work for your salvation, but you certainly do work from your salvation. Let me go back to the phone lines now, talk to Bobby, listening in XM 170 in Wiley, Texas. Hi, Bobby.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hancraft. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate your ministry. You're a big help to every one of us.
Thank you.
And the question I have is that you often tell your listeners that they'll call in and ask, where do our spirits go when we die? Well, the Bible says that absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And then you say that God is a spirit, he is everywhere, that we have a non-corporeal spirit. I'm not as smart as you are.
Non-corporeal just means non-physical. So spirits are non-corporeal, spirits are non-physical. That's the point that I make when I use corporeal or non-corporeal.
Spirits are not physical, but they will be recognizable even in the spirit by their loved ones, correct?
Well, we know that when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. We also know that others who are absent from the body are present with the Lord. We don't know a whole lot about what that means in terms of interpersonal relationships. We do know that we will recognize one another again when we are once again in the body. But I would say this, there's no reason to think that we wouldn't recognize one another even if we didn't have a physical form. Reason being is we recognize one another in more than just physical ways. We recognize one another in metaphysical ways as well. But again, I don't want to speak loudly about what the Bible doesn't shout about, and I don't have a whole lot of information to go on. I know absent from the body, present with the Lord. That is a relational term. It's not a locational term, but there will be other people absent from body, present with the Lord, and I would surmise that you might recognize one another in the presence of the Lord. But I don't know the answer to that question since the Bible doesn't give us a specific answer.
Yeah, the closest that I found is where the rich man is in, I guess, Hades, and he sees Lazarus in the arms of Abraham in his Abraham's bosom, correct?
Yeah, Luke 16 is a good example.
He recognized Abraham, and he recognized Lazarus, correct?
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of answers my question, but...
Yeah, Luke chapter 16.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just kind of want a verification of that, so... Well, thank you.
Hey, you got it, Bobby. Thank you so much. And, of course, we look forward. My dad died in 1997, absent from the body, present with the Lord, but he is awaiting the greatest of all eventualities, the time in which the Lord returns. And when the Lord returns, then his body will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. His soul returns to his body, and he will be fully human again. What does it mean to be human? When a woman gives birth, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. That is what it means to be human. That is how we always will be. But when we're resurrected, we will be imperishable, incorruptible, immortal. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That is the great and glorious truth to which we look forward. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Did humans evolve from hominids? Did God use Darwinian evolution to create all things? How can we befriend Mormons while showing them the real Jesus? How has the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche affected our culture? Answers to these and other questions are found in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, a subscription magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe online at equip.org or talk to a resource consultant by calling 888-7000-CRI. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this.
Thank you. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and 5-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. And now, let's return to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's return to our callers. Next up is Chuck, listening on Bot Radio in Cleveland, Mississippi. Hi, Chuck.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, the white horse in Revelation, in the verse that says, he that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh as the spirit of Antichrist, and somehow I know that they're connected and not necessarily applied like you see in movies as one guy who sets himself up as an Antichrist. So I guess my main question is, that the Antichrist is not necessarily some guy that is set up and he's called the Antichrist.
Well, I think you're right. If you look at John's epistles, he exposes the identity of Antichrist when he writes, "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." And then in his second epistle, he gives the same warning. He says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and antichrist. Well, in the book of Revelation, what do you have? John there, same author, identifies both
an antichrist.
Yeah, he identifies both an individual and an institution that represents the ultimate personification of evil.
So why are you saying individual? Why?
Well, in John, he is identifying an individual. He says that with wisdom and understanding, you can identify the number of this individual and the number of his name. So this is a readily identifiable first century individual. But okay. It is also true that in general, John is saying that Antichrist can be both an individual and an institution. Any kind, a cult that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh can legitimately be called Antichrist. But again, the exact text that I'm referring to in Revelation says, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for its man's number, his number, is 666. So he is there giving a number that identifies an individual as the archetypal Antichrist.
So he was looking that the white horse was the spirit that he saw at that time up until present, that spirit would always be here. I'm not sure what it's going to culminate into, but that spirit would be here until, you know, Christ sets his kingdom up.
Well, I don't know exactly what you're referring to, but yes, in general, you are correct, because the spirit of Antichrist will always be in the world, in that there'll always be individuals, there'll always be institutions that deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Therefore, the spirit of Antichrist in that sense will always be with us, in the sense in which John is intending to communicate the concept of an Antichrist.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I know it's not everything that... And I'm not saying everybody I've ever heard is wrong, and, you know, I'm not sure who's... It just seems like it's been hyped up in Hollywood, and maybe that what we've seen, and of course you can't trust movies all the time, but it's not an accurate portrayal of that ideology, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it has been hyped up, unfortunately, by Hollywood, but it's also been hyped up in pulpits throughout the land. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Deborah next, listening on Sirius 161, Dallas, Texas. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Bless you. Thank you so much for your program, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I wonder, Hank, if you would comment on Genesis chapter 6, the story about the sons of God and the daughters of men. I was listening to Chuck Missler, and he brought out some points that sounded kind of convincing, and that the sons of God were angels, because the only place in Scripture where it's referred to is over in the book of Job, and about the angels having the ability to make themselves look like men, and he used the example of the men that came to Abraham. Just wondered if you could comment on that.
Well, it's nonsense. First of all, when you have the Lord and two angels appear on the plains of Mamre to Abraham, this is God who has creative power. He can take on human appearance, as can angels take on human appearance by the prerogative of God. God, again, has creative power. Fallen angels do not have creative power. And if they did, they not only could have, but most surely would have masqueraded as the resurrected Christ. So we would have no epistemic warrant whatsoever for the appearances of Jesus Christ. And Christ's argument, see, a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have, would have been proven nonsensical, because his disciples would have said, come on, Jesus, get with it. demons can masquerade in the flesh. So that's a bad argument. Even if this was really you, it's still a bad argument. Well, Jesus doesn't use bad arguments, and demons cannot take on physical form. And the whole notion that demons can have sex with women and propagate offspring is in concert with Greek mythology, not Christian theology. In Christian theology, each kind reproduces after its own kind. So you don't have demons having sex with women and bearing some muddy mixture between a demon and a woman or a demon and a human. This is sheer nonsense, and I have a hard time believing that Christians actually believe this or peddle this kind of stuff through Christian channels.
Well, then they refer to this Nephilim, I think it is, these giants supposedly that were created from this ungodly union, and that this is the explanation for the size of the Goliath that David came up against, and I don't have my Bible in front of me now, but I know there's an account of a giant whose bed was so large and he had so many fingers and toes. So that has nothing to do with any of this.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with any of that. Certainly in context, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were heroes of old, men of renown. So they are delineated. But to say that the sons of God have to be fallen angels because of the use in Job forgets a basic principle of biblical interpretation. Words are not univocal, they are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. And in the context, what is the flood? It is judgment against humankind. It is not a judgment against hybrids. If, in fact, you have Chuck Missler being correct in this case, you know, you better watch out because you could get pregnant by a demon too, because if they could have done it then, why couldn't they do it now? You could come home and say to your husband, I'm pregnant. It wasn't you. It was a demon. I mean, this is nonsense. Unfortunately, it's the kind of sensationalism that he's been peddling for years across Christian platforms. I mean, he's the guy who was on Focus on the Family, you know, the year 2000, saying there are people in Washington that have the fear that we won't have any elections in the year 2000. And then he gives some convoluted reason for it, or that the bank vault doors are going to slam shut to people that want to get their money out of the banks and open to the robbers because of the chips. And, of course, doesn't tell anybody that the bank doors are not controlled by chips but by hand-wound mechanical timers. He's been doing this sensationalism for years. I remember him fueling fears of governmental conspiracies. People have a short memory, so he gets away with it over and over again. And what does he do? Well, he quotes really bad sources like Spotlight, which was a periodical produced by quasi-Nazi Liberty Lobby, and it is widely known as a major source of rabidly anti-Semitic propaganda in America. It's factually unreliable. It's notorious for racist articles and advertisements, and yet, in a 1995 article citing Spotlight, Missler claimed that the presidential directive number 25 states that during times of national emergency, complete command and control of the U.S. military would pass from the president of the United States to the United Nations. Well, actually, presidential decision directive number 25 says nothing about placing U.S. military personnel under complete command and control of the U.N. during a national emergency. In fact, it says the very opposite. But facts don't really matter. What really matters is the sensationalism. Selling, sensationalism, sophistry, sloppy journalism, script torture, it's all part and parcel of the selling package. And unfortunately, this is why today Christians need discernment skills. If you don't have them, you are going to get caught in the trap of sensationalistic communications by people like Chuck Missler.
Okay, well, that that pretty much helps me out quite a bit. I because you know he even brought the part about the when the Israelites went in to spy out the land and how they said that the inhabitants of that land were so large that they looked like grasshopper, and talking about the size of the fruit and everything else. So basically, it's all sensationalism. There were large people that dwelt in the land, I guess, created
right,
by God himself.
That's right. That's right. There were Nephilim in the land. They were identified in that way, but not as a result of demons having sex with women.
Ah, okay. Well, good. That explains it all for me. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I apologize for my exasperation. From time to time, it simply gets to me. Religion is no excuse for being careless with the truth. I must confess, I share in full the general public's disgust with media preachers who have long since tired of preaching the unadulterated Christian gospel, and in its place has substituted a National Enquirer gospel of cheap sensationalism. And even a random sampling of secular talk shows in America confirms the fact that millions today write off Christianity as little more than a hoax. Their assumption is that Christians who willingly embrace this kind of sensationalism are just as prone to embrace mythology that is 2,000 years old. It's high time for Christians to learn and embrace with vigor and passion discernment skills. That's what we do right here at the Christian Research Institute and during the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're out of time for this edition. We'll see you tomorrow right here with more of the show.
On today's show, we've mentioned several resources that would be a great help to you or someone you know. So contact the Christian Research Institute and let us help equip you with just the right resource so you can defend the faith. Either call us at 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. You're also welcome to visit our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, is an equipping audio CD from the Christian Research Institute, compiled from 6 insightful interviews on the Bible Answer Man. For your gift this month, we will send you this helpful CD as our way of saying thank you for your faithful prayers and support. Learn how to define and defend the biblical concept of family. Combat atheism with the truth about objective morality. Explain how the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage actually protect and elevate the status of women. Respond to the cultural influence of social media and its place in your life. And refute Richard Dawkins and others who claim that Darwinian evolution is proven fact, and much more.
Get your copy of The Forefront, When Doctrine Meets Daily Life, when you support the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org.